Okay.
It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, classes and sessions. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit, yeah. That means you take a loss if you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history is the word. It's the power hour. The learning hour. Tune in to your history. Learning your history. Power hour. The learning hour.
I like that.
That's pretty dope. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. That new song was flames, bro. Yeah. Shout out to my brothers in Miami. All right. Officer Eliab coordinated the men out there. They said, we got to get up. We've been working on something. They was inspired in the spirit to put out a new jam. We rocked with Officer Ravine's joint for like 4 or 5 years. You know, so it's time to just switch it up a little bit. That's going to go into the classics. Yes, all right, we'll throw that in rotation on the pre-show.
Right.
Let us know what y'all think in the comment stream about that new intro song. I think that thing is flames, bro. I think that thing is flames.
It was dope.
Yes. So like I said, welcome, welcome. We back live. All right. We had a hiatus. I didn't mean to have it that way. I tell you, man, it's like cold season, everything. I was jacked up again. I just didn't have the strength.
Right.
I didn't have the strength. I said, I'm going to be on the show like this, just blowing my nose. And you know, not one thing, it's another. But we back. I did want to go like hard on the Thanksgiving stuff. But there's elements of that show, not necessarily talking about Thanksgiving, that I'm going to try to work into this one. We still got a lot to cover from last time when I did part one on this. But we'll see how it goes. So Power Hour Plus Edition, I am Captain Yashua, along with
Officer Zara and Soldier Eric.
And Soldier, he's becoming a regular on the show.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all talk while I go ahead. Oh, now you're on the spot. He deferred to you. You the officer.
Hey,
shout out
to Officer Ruben.
Is it your first time on the show? What else?
No, second.
Time. Second. Sure. Okay. Second. Was I here?
Come on, man. Time?
Yes, sir. First
Damn,
time.
I forgot.
Yeah, you forgot. It was real bad.
Oh, man. Praises.
I see you got good taste at your highlighters.
All praises. Yeah, all praises.
Great minds think alike.
That's right.
I'm sure I get the rest of these links shared out. So it's okay, y'all.
Hey, man. Officer Ruvain, man. It's going to be okay. You know, we got a new song coming out.
I said, damn, he might feel like a way when he's like, wait a second, this ain't me.
Right.
What's going on here?
That song really been on 4 or 5 years?
No, the show's been around for about 4 years at least, I would say. Yeah,
okay.
Because we started the show in 19th Avenue when we moved in there.
Okay.
When we first got here, we were still in the school location in Indian School, on Indian School Road. So I want to say it's been about 4 years because I've been here a little over 5 years.
Okay.
Just a smidge over 5 years.
Right.
So about 4 years and maybe a little less because we didn't have the music from him right away on the show.
Right.
But I think he got on it pretty quick. He wanted to jump on it. Yeah, he took the initiative.
Yeah,
I think we were like doing other stuff and some of his other tracks and stuff like that. What do we used to put? Fuego. So we put Fuego. So then I guess, you know, he was in the spirit and said, hey, man, let me try to do something that's Power Hour specific, which I know everybody loved. But, you know, these brothers, the Northern Kingdom, been rising up. And, you know, because We didn't have no other kingdom to do no music then. So Ruvane took it over and did it. Officer Ruvane, IUIC Phoenix.
Man, that brother talented too.
He is, man. He is. He got a lot of skills in different areas and things like that.
Yes, sir.
All praises. I'm glad you like that. But now it's time for something fresh. Now it's time for something fresh. It's all right. You're not off the hook. I'm still doing stuff. Talk.
How's your day?
Come on, man.
It was all right.
Okay. Nobody wants to know how his day was,
right,
man.
Exactly, man.
Talk to the audience, not to him.
Hey, man, Lord's will, all y'all stand in the spirit. You know, Captain Back with the powerhouse. All praise to the Most High. Lord's will, whatever he brings out, be edifying to the people, all right?
Yes, sir.
You're going to learn a lot.
Oh, sir.
Speaking of Mike.
Yes, sir. Hey.
He got you.
Hey, I got you too, bro. There's comments. You can say shalom to the people. Say what's up to people.
Hey, right. Shalom, family.
Shalom, everybody. Most High Christ bless.
Yeah, we should have been reading what they thought of the music, bro.
Yeah, I see some people saying it's fire.
Come on, man.
Fire.
I'm still so mad at, like, I don't know why, like, on Facebook, I can't read the comments anymore.
Still?
I don't know. It's the layout. They try to make everything look like the phone.
Yeah.
But I like the computer because it doesn't look like the phone.
Right.
So I can't figure it out. Maybe somebody got to help me out. It's like, If there's so much information on the screen now, like it's hidden, and I can't see any comments.
Right.
He needs some milk.
Yeah, I sure do. I'm old. I'm old.
Hey,
anyway.
Hey, we are.
All praise the Most High. I'm glad everybody liked the song. Thanks for tuning in. So I don't know how much we're going to cover, man. Like sometimes I start doing research on stuff, and like a lot of things just keep coming out. I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'll start off looking for something else entirely.
Right.
And as I'm digging into it, because some people are like, damn, where you find this stuff? Just reading, like I used to do back in the day at the library with the Dewey Decimal System.
Right. Yeah, these youngsters don't know nothing about it.
They don't know about it. They don't know the struggle.
No, they just know Google.
They just know Google. Yeah, you just type in what you want, bro.
Right, right.
I have to go alphabetical, pull out the little drawer.
Right.
Sometimes the drawer would be off the track depending on how funded your public library was.
Right.
Right? Pull that out. You got to go through the card files and stuff. And then you got to go find that thing. I think that's what made it fun as a kid.
Yeah.
It was like a little bit of a hunch. It was like a little treasure quest.
It was.
Looking for what you wanted in the library. You know what I'm saying? And then trying to find that thing.
Right.
So, but I remember there was a course in school where they had to teach you how to do that.
The Dewey Decimal System.
How to do the Dewey Decimal System.
I thought it was like, I think it was just like taught, like
yeah,
math. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because that's the way we had to
look stuff
up back then.
Yeah, I was just hanging out the library doing it. And that's why you spent the time there, because the time it took you to find the damn thing, you was going to read it. You know, like
you had to.
You said, yep. So, yeah, last time we were talking about encyclopedia, now I'm talking about the Dewey Decimal at the library. I ain't that old, man. I'm only 44.
Right.
I'm only 44.
I got a few years on you.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, little I know. Bit. I won't reveal.
It's all good. I'm 40. I'm 48.
Yeah,
we can reveal it. Right. It's all good.
Nah, man, you look 35 at the most.
I hear it all the time. Man. People
give me
that.
35 at the most.
You know, black don't crack.
Yeah, you got good skin, bro.
Yes, sir. I got that from
that's
from the Most
High. There you go.
I'm Judah.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's right. I saw Sister T commenting. That's right. IUIC Phoenix just finished 30 days of camp.
That's right.
First
that's
of all,
right.
All glory to the Most High and His Son. These brothers were in the spirit. And then, of course, I was sick, like, the end of October and, like, the whole month of November, basically, on and off. So,
brothers brought it up.
Damn! But they did. But they did their thing. They did their thing. So, all praise to the Most High for those men putting in the work that way. So, and now they season and ready. So, we're already on the list for next year.
That's right.
Right. Camp 365. Every camp jumps on the list so that they can do 30 days.
Right.
All right. And definitely a different experience, right? Especially them night camps.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
You know, the freaks come out at night.
Yeah, that thing is different, right? Hey, but it looked good, man. People was listening and whatnot, so.
Always had somebody at the camp, too. So.
Yeah,
all
so
praise.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So the word's going out. All praise to the Most High for that. All right, so, I forgot where I wanted to start back in on this. Let me see. Do I got my bookmark? Do you remember the last page we were on as we were going into this stuff? I think I was still only on the second page because I was supposed to go into the iRacist article. Wow. Well, it's not a lot of pages in the first chapter. All right. We're going to finish with this animus. All right. So I didn't tell you to pull it up. Let's put the cover first of the book. and in the background get the definition of animus. So we're working off through this book, and we'll see. We'll see how long the Spirit moves us to use stuff from here. I started kind of I don't want to use the word that I want to use because a lot of people won't know that word. I was going to say, I started perusing another book.
You could always give them the definition of it.
But then my brain couldn't give me a simpler word just now.
All praise.
Skimming. That's what I meant to say. Skimming. I said perusing. I remember the first time I heard that word, I said, what in the? Perusing.
Kind of like cruising.
Yeah, kind of like cruising through something. Yeah, right. Like, you know, like when you go to the store and you flip through a magazine, right? That's right. Perusing, all right?
Okay.
So you're like you're looking through it, but you're not really. You know, like some people do in this truth for years and years with their Bible, like they peruse through the scriptures but never really dive in,
right.
You know, that sort of thing.
Bruh.
So I was skimming through another book called The Invention of Latinos, or Inventing Latinos, I think it's called. Pretty interesting. Again, another short read, but pretty good. Goes into that as well. Anyway, so animus. I want to bring. Speaking of words, right? So we're in ignored racism, white animus toward Latinos, and the reason they say ignored because we know it doesn't get as much media coverage, doesn't get as much attention.
All right.
And that's by design. All right, that's by design that they bring that out. Mm-hmm. So animus. It says a prejudiced and often spiteful or malevolent ill will, right? And we were bringing out how, you know, starting with Esau and all these other nations, they have evil intention towards Israel, all right? Mm-hmm. They have a prejudiced view of us, all right? It is often spiteful, and it's definitely malevolent, all right? Because they're the emissaries of Satan, right? They're his ministers, okay? So malevolent ill will, right? So it's a harbored an animus toward them. So it's something that they hold on to. So that's what we've been working off in this book. And we were talking last time about the whole idea of how they want us to be. And they'll try to go into those terms. Let me see your links in your tabs. There was a term I had up. Click on that. Nope, not the racial resentment scale. I think we did speak about that. There was a definition I put there. Race neutrality, I think, is what it was. Race neutrality. Or I don't know if it was a definition or a wiki. If you don't have it up, it's in the stream that we have for the show. All right? No, it wasn't symbolic racism.
Come on, man.
It was there. I'm telling you it was there because I checked it earlier when I put the message out. So go back to the Telegram. And you can look for it from back then. And it's not new. It's from when we did the show a couple of weeks ago. All right?
He needs some milk.
And I didn't really get into the term last time, so I want to get into the term now. There it is. Race neutral. All right? Yeah. Race neutral. So let's do the scroll up. Let me see. Wait. Scroll up in the Telegram. No. What
go go back to the Telegram.
In the book? Go back to the Telegram. I want to see if there was anything above this. Go back. Hold on. Equity and how? I forgot how I want that, but make sure that picture's up too. All right. I also want the video with the race, right? Damn, I got so much stuff now. Man,
we got the video. We got the video.
Okay, all right, man. I just realized it's a lot of stuff. It's not all going to get covered tonight, is it? I can tell you that right now. It's too much information. It's too much information. Anyway, so let's go to the race thing. So this is the first thing, right? And race neutral means a measure or program that is or can be used to assist all small businesses without making distinctions or classifications on the basis of race or gender. So in the business world, in jobs and things like that, their aim is to try to be race neutral. The fact that there even has to be a term like this goes to show you how wickedly racist they really are. All right. Now let me get the other one. I think it was Cambridge. Nope. I don't want racial equity yet. We'll talk about that later. Nope, not the racial resentment scale. He just had it. It was in the stream. It was above the picture. I said start with the picture. No. Who's on there? Is that Zerubbabel?
Yes, that is Zerubbabel.
That is Zerubbabel. Scroll down, Zerubbabel. Well, you know how he is, like, during regular classes, and you have him right there, race neutral, dictionary, Cambridge. I said start with the picture above it.
And that means I still want this. Race neutral, right? So race neutral outside of business just means not based on people's race or giving a special advantage to people of any race. All right. They give you some examples there. Prosecutors must show race neutral reasons to eliminate black people from juries. Right. So like you just had the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Right. And they found these guys guilty of some of the charges and all that. But they only had one black juror.
Wow.
Right. Because they were eliminating them. Right. So like I don't know. I learned that in school. I don't know if that was a regular thing or I took a freaking class about the legal system. Perhaps, and they talk to you about how they do the voir dire, the juries, and they can each of them have like a go home no questions asked card. I forgot what it's called in the legal system. So at each side, meaning the prosecution and the right. defense, so part of the jury selection process, and all these things are supposed to be so that it doesn't show any type of bias right. or favoritism.
Right.
But then you look at where these things are trialed sometimes, and you know, what your pool of jurors are and so on and so forth. And basically the defense's thing against the Edomites that murdered Ahmaud Arbery was trying to get as many black people off the jury as possible. So they have this thing, I can't remember the terms, you people who are into legalese or maybe that's your background, where they, I don't know if it's one or two or what the number is, but there's a few, they can dismiss some jurors without explanation. They give them a few that they can do, but there's a limit on it. And then the rest, they have to explain why they don't want a juror and justify it based on their mischief by law that they frame, you know, to try to make it seem like it's fair. They use this example here as prosecutors must show race neutral reasons to eliminate black people from juries. Again, letting you know that race neutral is a term that came about because of racism towards our people, right? Because why didn't they say to eliminate a white person from a jury, right? Or eliminate an Asian person from so like in the damn dictionary, it shows you that stuff. And then it says the college has switched to race neutral admissions without adversely affecting diversity. Because then it goes into all this stuff that they talk about with it, diversity, so on and so forth. All right. So race neutrality is the approach that white people in particular, because we're talking about white people in this book, try to take when they say why they don't like Latinos, right? Now, you know, I'm going to mention all Israel at points, but we're focusing on that ignored racism. And, you know, we'll get into the immigration piece and all that other stuff later on. But they'll tell you it's because they come here and take jobs, this, that, and the other. And they'll say it's not because of race, right? But they don't say the same things about other races.
Right.
And then they'll tell you it's because those other races don't do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have like this whole someone got it. Well, Markel Smith, it's called Prematory Challenge. That's it. Yeah. And there's no way in hell I was going to remember that. But I remember like in high school I learned it.
I did too.
Because I was in, what was I in? I was in mock something. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was mock court. I don't know. It was something in freaking high school that I took. High school was fun with the courses when we went.
Right. They don't teach you the same thing.
Yeah, nah, man.
We had government.
Yeah.
Learn about all, you know, how to write a check and all,
He said peremptory. Okay. Thank you for correcting it. Peremptory challenge. Right. So they're able to just kind of eliminate. Yes, I want to eliminate this one, this one, this one. I want to eliminate. And they have like a certain number that they can just toss off without any type of explanation.
Right.
And then the rest they got to explain. So race neutrality, remember this, because this is why, and this is part of why, and not just with Latinos, but it's with all Israel, right? So it's not just southern and northern kingdom, but this is why they have these issues of that ignored racism, because they try to play it like it isn't. And people who've never experienced any type of racism, which I think we'll read later in the book, of course it's easy for them to talk about and saying that there's no racism.
Right.
Because they didn't grow up in those spheres where they experienced that. That's not their life. That's not their day-to-day, right?
Right.
So let's go to the book. We're going to go to page 2. And I'm just going to start from that second paragraph again, right? And then we'll recap that Judith 5 and 1 as well, because I have a note there for it. So it says, this form of Latino-specific racism, ethnicism, is on display in publications such as Alien Nation, State of Emergency, and Who We Are, The Challenges to America's National Identity. These writings argue that non-white Latinos who fail to adopt Anglo-American, and when they say non-white, they mean not Spaniards,
okay,
right? Not the ones from Spain. These writings argue that non-white Latinos who fail to adopt Anglo-American traditions are wreaking havoc on the nation, all right? So it says this is a form of failed assimilation, right? They feel like they're violated because it violates their Anglo-American norms, okay? And that's what the focus of this book is, to show you that the racism towards Latinos is driven somewhat differently. Remember, I think I had mentioned last time when we were on the show, the main driver of the difference is that they have that awareness that we were the indigenous of this side of the world. And deep down, that thing is always there. So when they see it, right, and that's why I had brought out that scripture in Job that talks about this is why it's in their bones, even though it wasn't them and it was, you know, four or five generations ago of their families,
right,
that were the ones that perpetrated it. This is why they have that animus towards us, is because their goal was assimilation then, mm-hmm, right? Destroyed them. Remember, and even more recently, kill the Indian, save the man.
Right.
That's the same thing. A lot of times we think of Mexican, Incas, Mayans, we think of Puerto Ricans, Aztecs, and we don't think of them as Indians, but they called us Indians as well then, all right? So that save the Indian, save the man, while it came about in later generations, I think we went over that on another show, it was probably like the late 1800s when that really became a thing as a phrase when it was first coined, but that mindset that they had in dealing with us was there from when they first came over. This is why one of the first things they did was made us bow down to a white Christ. Actually, let me get Matthew 24 real quick. Let me get Matthew 24 to show you how that happened when we came here. Because if you look historically, when the conquistadors came here, when they arrived, they deceived us into who the Savior was. Now, there was a remnant of us. You read that in Lost Tribes and Promised Land that knew that we were Hebrews, that spoke some Hebrew, all right? But a lot of us at that point when they arrived, not all of us, but a lot of us had gone off into idolatry. And we basically replaced our Messiah and the one true God in the Bible with a false deity. But it was based on that. Like, I have another book called Las Aztecas, or the Aztecs, mm-hmm, and it talks about the similarities. Maybe I'll bring it onto a show one day that we, and I think I probably did years ago, where it talks about the history of the Exodus. The Aztecs had a similar history when the conquistadors came and told them about it. They spoke about like a Moses-like persona that parted the sea. I mean, all these details. And at that point, you know, they had forgotten that it was rooted in the scriptures, the bulk of our people. So what the conquistadors did, well, the white man, when he first came over, was basically change the truth of God into a lie and deceive our people. And one of the first things they did in assimilating us, because they knew that that's how they would have ultimate power over us, in addition to all the horrible physical atrocities they did to us, was us bow down to a white Messiah, mm-hmm, on pain of death.
Right.
On pain of death. So let's get Matthew 24 and let's start at 4.
This is the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Now, Christ prophesied this. At this time, were the people going to be deceived? No, because remember, they had Moses in every synagogue still, right? They knew that the northern kingdom, you read that in John 4, were not to be dealt with, right? So they knew they still had this history. They understood their identity, okay?
Right.
They knew this stuff, mm-hmm, right? They knew, you read in John, was it John 7:35? It says, where's he going to go? Among the Gentiles to teach the Gentiles? They understood at that time.
Right.
So he's really speaking of a future time here. And he says, take heed that no man deceive you. He's talking about once I'm gone. Come on, read.
For many shall come in my name.
That's how you know it was a future tense, because he says many are going to come in my name. They're not going to come in his name when he's there.
Right.
They said they're going to come in my name, meaning once I'm gone. All right. So he said many are going to come in his name. The conquistadors came in his name. What was it? Isabella and the other one?
Is it Ferdinand?
Ferdinand, right? And they came under the Spanish crown, under the cross, and Catholicism was the ruling religion, the Pope with all his power. The senior leadership recently went over stuff like this in their classes. Bishop and Shout Out Tuesday, Deacon Ithan recently was going over stuff like this, all right? So he says, for many shall come in my name. And that happened through multiple iterations throughout history. It wasn't just the conquistadors, but this is a heavy one, right? Because in the so-called Southern Kingdom slavery, they did the same thing. They presented themselves as it. They sat in the seat, right? They sat in the mounts of the North, and they sat as if they were God. Okay? Right. Come on, read.
Saying, am Christ, and shall deceive many.
And so how did they say? So it wasn't that the conquistador came down and said, hey, I'm Christ. They went and they said, this is Christ, right? He don't look like you. He's not you. And this, and the reason I bring all that out is to show you that this is part of that assimilation tactic that they need to do. So in bringing it fast forward to what we're reading here, okay, where it says they feel that so-called Latinos won't adopt Anglo-American traditions, that white traditions, and that's wreaking havoc on the nation because that was part of their MO when they came to conquer someplace, to the assimilation aspect of it, all right? Let me get Judith 5, and we'll start at 1. We're going to read 1 through 4. So this was in their spirit all the time. Verse 4 is the point of what we just read in the book. Come on.
This is the book of Judith, chapter 5 and verse 1.
Freedom!
Then was it declared to Holofernes, the chief captain of the army of Ashur, that the children of Israel had prepared for war and had shut up the passages of the hill country and had fortified all the tops of the high hills and had laid impediments in the campaign country.
Now, this is important because later, if we have time, I'm going to bring in another scripture that shows you again. They always saw us as rebellious. And in reality, all we wanted to do was be left alone so we can serve our God. Right. It was not it's not like we went out, all right, at this point to go and say, hey, we want to make trouble with you. It's just we're not going to roll with what you're rolling with. Right. Leave our people to do what we need to do. That was always how we were. We didn't want to deal with them. The conquistadors, when they came onto these shores, we didn't really want to deal with them, but they were there, so we had to address it.
Right.
Right? You read a lot of stories of Gad, and they talk about, we knew that if we helped these people, it was going to be our demise. But it was that and get instant demise or maybe stave it off for a little while so we can try to, you know, give some time so that they can deal with this arriving problem of mass immigration on their shores. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Right? Come on, read on.
Verse 2. Wherewith he was very angry and called all the princes of Moab.
Right, so it tells you this was Assur and Moab, right? So you're dealing with Assyria, you're dealing with Moab. So I think I brought it out last time in Psalms 83. They've always been, when it comes to us, confederate against us. They've always been able to galvanize behind us as one enemy against them. All right, read on.
And the captains of Ammon. And all the governors of the sea coast.
Right, so you had Chinese, you had Japanese, and you had Assyrians. Come on.
And he said unto them, tell me now, ye sons of Canaan, who this people is that dwelleth in the hill country, and what are the cities that they inhabit, and what is the multitude of their army, and wherein is their power and strength? King is set over them. Or captain of their army.
And they're always wanting to know stuff. They're always so know. You know this, man, subtle. It's in their spirit. Mm-hmm. You'll be rocking like a T-shirt with a message, like a biblical message on it, and none of your people take a damn look. But they all up in your grill looking at that stuff.
And knowing enough.
They all up in the fringes. They all that. Your people don't say nothing, but they'll say something. They're like catching all of it.
I like your shirt.
Yeah, I like those little things you got on your shirt.
Those are cute.
Yeah, they always, you know, or sometimes they won't say nothing. They just straight eyeballing, like, uh-huh. You know, they talking to you, but they looking at your fringes, you know, like just, you know, they always wanted to know something about us, right? We're peculiar people them, right? Come on.
Verse 4. And why have they determined not to come and meet me? More than all the inhabitants of the West.
He said, so why? It says their rebellion's different. Right? He says, more than all of the inhabitants of the West. That's the racial part there.
Right.
because he's telling you that they don't want to come meet me either, those other inhabitants of the West, but I got a bone to pick with these people, right? He says, why have they failed to come? That's that anti-assimilation. We don't want to be a part of it. This is the same thing we just read in the book. If you go back to page 2, all right, in the book, and it says that this is a very specific Latino-specific racism, ethnicism, because they have journals in different publications. It's called Alienation. It was a show called Alienation.
I remember.
And basically, this is a publication that they put out where they basically talk and spew hatred about Northern Kingdom. State of Emergency, another one. Who Are We? The Challenges to America's National Identity. And remember that last part, because when we go into Americanism, all right, and by the time I get to Americanism, it'll probably be a segue into the next show, all right? You're going to understand where that comes from. And real briefly, I'll just give you a little taste of that. Americanism goes into, I don't remember where I heard it, where I had seen it one time, but they said America is unusual in the measure of what they call patriotism, how patriotic Americans are. Mm-hmm. And they said the rest of the world is not really like that. Like the thing where you fly your flag, your country's flag all over the place, mm-hmm. that's reserved for like places to identify government facilities.
Right.
Like basically they're saying it's excessive mm-hmm. here.
It is.
But as we're going to learn as we break down Americanism and some other terms and things that I've researched, all right, we're going to find out that Americanism and that patriotism is really an ideology, mm-hmm. right? And the Bible talks about that. When it talks about the formation of democracy having been a religion, like you read in Maccabees, and like I said, we'll get to that today, maybe not, okay. But when it talks about America's national identity, America's national identity is based on that excess of patriotism, which really is defined as Americanism. And there's another term that we're going to bring out where it's basically idolatry, and I'm going to show you that, where you combine idolatry with government, and what they've really done then mm-hmm. is idolatrize the government. They've put that as their God and their all-encompassing guiding light.
Right.
And you know, this excess of American flags and things like that. I was watching Michael Che, and he's all right. Sometimes he's funny, sometimes he's not. Like his delivery is what's funny. Like sometimes his lines are not that great. You know who I'm talking about? He'd be on Saturday Night Live. He does the news. He's like a straight comic, you know, like when they deliver stuff straight.
Right.
Right? And they just talk about it. So right. That's part of their shtick. Right?
He Edomite?
No. He's all people.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he is. Because I mean, he might be half Asian. I don't know with the last name that he got. I got to research it. Anyway, he has a special on Netflix now. I said, let me watch this and see. This guy's pretty funny. And it drew me in only because, you know how Netflix gives you the little
description of it?
Right.
Right.
You know, like a little preview. Oh, and he was talking about, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, I'm American. He said, you know, he said, I don't always feel American. He said, he goes, I'm American until I'm around like a lot of American flags. And he says, he goes like, you know, so, you know, last year I was in some part of Texas and, you know, he said, I was driving through a neighborhood with a friend and we saw a lot of flags on people's houses. And he said, I didn't feel too good about being American then. And I said, hey, let's get the hell out of here. He goes, I suppose that's how white people feel when they're around too many black people.
Right.
He was like, it's okay if it's 3 or 4,
right.
But when it's a whole bunch, I want to go. And he starts going into like America and that sort of stuff. And you know, he's very sarcastic in how he does it. I'm not delivering it like him. Obviously, he's a professional comic. But it's that same type of overabundance of that stuff. You know, we're going to read some stuff that talks about this national identity and how critical it is to them and their ideology. And that's why they force your kids to do the national anthem every day. That's not something that you do in other countries all the time. I'm not saying there aren't countries that do it.
Right.
But the vast majority of countries don't have that. That's part of the reason all these other countries see Americans as obnoxious,
right?
Because of this ideology and this Americanism and this national identity thing that they want to shove down not just the world's throats, but even their own citizens' throats by the indoctrination that starts with stuff in school. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading another thing, and again, we'll talk about it some more as the topic progresses. And so when you think about the national anthem piece, he goes, it becomes less sacred because you're doing it all the time. Like, it doesn't have meaning. One guy really broke it down. He said, man, the code with the flag, you're not even supposed to be wearing, like, the flag on, like, your clothes. You're not supposed to have, like, in the written law. Like, really? You could get, yes. And he was citing, like, code in the law. Like, you're not supposed to have the flag, like on napkins and stuff like that, because that's considered desecrating it and stuff like that. You're not supposed to wear it, really, on clothing. So, but nobody says anything about that stuff because right. It fits the ideal of that Americanism. So, again, we'll go into that stuff in more detail.
Goes towards their pride, too.
Can we show these pictures that I – it was on my neighborhood Facebook, and they were two Edomites.
Uh-huh.
Going back and forth about the American flag, and this Edomite says something very heavy.
Go ahead, bring it out.
And I crossed out the names. I crossed out just for
in case they see this and then they try to come after us.
Yes, sir.
What is wrong with Zerubbabel, bro? like how hard is it for you to find this stuff?
He needs some milk.
Goodness. Go ahead, Ashai, bring it out. No, okay, well, I'm not gonna
bring it up there. Give me one second. I can't bring it out on Telegram. Go to
She's cussing him out right now.
Oh, snap. That's funny. That's funny,
right,
man.
Now.
All right. Oh, goodness.
He's Watch not this. Like husband and you, wife. Good.
Read it. Y'all can read it if you want.
Okay, so what was the context of this, though?
She had an old American flag on her porch, and she was trying to, what's it called? It? She was trying
dispose
to...
dispose of it properly?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that topic before.
So she was asking, where do I dispose of it? And this guy here, so it says, go to here, go to there, right? But it says, a flag is a flag. He said, throw it in the trash. The actions of a nation define it, not its idolatry.
But that's not the one that's on the screen, though. I did see that. How come this one's on the screen and not the other one?
It's that one.
There we go. So he said, throw it in the trash.
Yes.
Okay. So she said, how do I dispose of the flag? He said, right, to show you the idolatry. Man, Lord forbid to these freaking Americanism, all right, people.
America.
All right, America.
America.
You say throw the flag in the trash, right? You know, they'll tell you, let our people kill themselves, send them back, let them rot, all that.
Right.
But let a piece of cloth, right, that represents so much evil and wickedness.
Right.
Historically and now in the earth, okay? Mm-hmm. But let a piece of cloth come out, right? And you're going to make a big deal out of it. Go ahead. So he told him, throw it in the trash, right? And then everybody jumped on him, I bet, right?
Right. And they started getting on him. This guy says, I was two deployments to the Persian Gulf. Have a great day.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm always ready for that one. Like, if somebody sees me not standing for the anthem or something,
right.
Like if I happen to be in a venue where I have to do that, I got it on my ID. I'm a veteran. I actually earned the right to not do this. Okay.
You disgrace your country.
Exactly. Come on. Go ahead. So, and then she says, I just have a special connection to our flag. Thank you for your service. He said, a flag is a flag. The actions of a nation define it, not its idolatry. That's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. That's their tongue falling upon themselves. Got some of them just eating each other up from inside. Right. It's idolatry. It's idolatry, the way that this affinity for the flag, this obsession that they have with national identity. You don't find that in other countries. You don't find that, right? Countries, it's not like that. It's excessive. That patriotism, that nationalism. I'm actually going to show you how in my research I found that Americanism became much stronger during the Cold War to battle the sentiment of communism and all this other stuff that was going on.
Right.
So they had to create their own. So it's not really rooted in this, you have to be so patriotic. It was, again, a tactic and a ploy to try to keep the people passive and neutralized. Right? Anyway, so it says these writings, okay, from these publications – argue that white Latinos who fail to adopt Anglo-American traditions are wreaking havoc on the nations. It says economic blight, failing state educational systems, crime, teenage pregnancy rates, the strain on social welfare systems, and poverty. So they say all these things that I just read are all problems, all attributed to the arrival of Latino immigrants and Latino Americans. Right? So they're saying that
what?
Economic blight, failed educational systems, crime, teenage pregnancy rates, the strain of social welfare systems, poverty, that's because we brought that.
Wow.
Because okay. we brought that. In Who We Are, Samuel P. Huntington argues that Latinos are threatening American identity by speaking in their native tongue. That's why they have such, and I have made the emphasis on the last show that we did on this, that this is why you'll have some of the other tribes, you don't realize that you're even brainwashed with Americanism to an extent.
All right, all right.
Because you'll see, and it's very specific to Latinos. It's not the same. I gave the example, Benjamin will be ravening and nobody going to say nothing to them.
Right.
Levi, maybe a little less. You might get on them, but not. But Northern Kingdom start talking in Spanish and right away you start. And it's because this thing is so strong, this animus that is permeated into our own brothers and sisters as well.
Right.
In some, I'm not saying all right, but in some respects I've seen that. And there's this, oh, why are you talking in Spanish?
Right.
And there's this thing of, and when you really get down to it, it's just, oh, because I think you're talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, you might have been robbed by a Mexican, all right? You might have been backstabbed and spoke crap about by a Puerto Rican or a Dominican on your job, but you in the truth now, okay? Right. So get over
That's
it.
That's right.
Get over it.
Right.
Get over it.
He needs some milk.
All right. Where that comes from is this thing here, that Americanism, and that needs to be purged out of all of us. That needs to be purged out of all of us. So it says Samuel P. Huntington argues that Latinos are threatening American identity by and again, when I segue into Americanism, you'll see why it's so important, right? So, like, we'll probably jump to Americanism at some point and then later on come back to the book. So it says, engaging in cultural traditions from their country of origin. They don't want us to engage in anything that's remotely what we were like, okay? Hey, Shalom, Bishop. Yowsop, Mosan, Christ bless you. I see him on the stream there.
Shalom, Bishop.
Shalom,
Bishop.
He says, and maintaining strong ties to family members abroad. You know how, like, you know, you'll send money home and you're still dealing. They don't like that stuff. They don't like that. So it says, Huntington fears that the inability of Latinos to assimilate into Anglo-American society will cause an increase in poverty, violence, and political conflict within the United States. In State of Emergency, Pat Buchanan directly contrasts Latinos in an unfavorable light in relation to white European immigrant groups, stating, this is why I say that race neutrality that we read about earlier is so much crap, all right? Because he says, where the Italians wanted to be part of our family, millions of Mexicans are determined to retain their language and loyalty to Mexico. So the Italians are okay because they came and they – but. That's not true because you have places like Little Italy. Mm-hmm. They speak their language amongst each other.
Chinatown.
Yeah, right. You got Chinatown. They speak their language among, and none of them got anything to say against them. And I don't care what people are going to say in the news. They'll have you believe that there's so much Asian hate and people against Asians. That's mm-hmm. BS. You might have had a little spike in that because of the freaking Wuhan virus thing.
Yeah.
All right. But that's BS. Moab and Ammon, they've always been Confederate with Edom, always throughout history. All right?
Yes,
so it says that where the Italians want us to be part of our family, millions of Mexicans are determined to retain their languages and loyalty to Mexico. They prefer to remain outsiders. They do not want to assimilate, and the nation no longer demands that they do so. We are in the midst of a savage culture war in which traditionalist values have been losing ground for two generations. What traditionalist values? Their atrocities of rape.
Right.
Of robbery, of killing. And I'm not saying, listen, it's because wilding over there with the drug wars and you know, cartels, beheadings and the cartels and stuff like that. I'm not saying that's above our people. There's laws written in the Bible because our people are capable of those things and have done some atrocious things. But what do they say? The pot calling the kettle black?
Right?
That term that they use. What the heck? He's over here talking about it's a savage culture war and traditionalist values. What he means is that Americanism, that excessive patriotism is threatened when you see people resisting that sort of thing, that assimilation aspect. They realized long ago, that's why we read it in Judith, all right? We'll read it in Esther at some point. We'll get it in First Maccabees as well at some point. And they were always concerned with when they were trying to unite each other that we had to make sure that they got us too. Because they knew that our rebellion, what they call rebellion, was really our loyalty and affinity to God, right, and our true culture, would cause a problem amongst what they're trying to accomplish. Yeah. So they want to keep us as far away from that as possible, as far away from God and our true identity as possible. It says in the book jacket of Alien Nation, Peter Brimlow writes that Latinos within the United States are less educated, less skilled, more prone to trouble with the law, less inclined to share American culture and values, and altogether less likely to become Americans in name or spirit. And yet they'll sit there and say they're not racist. They'll say, no, it's race neutral. I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about they need to be more American.
Wow.
Well, that's racist in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these statements of failed assimilation are interwoven with arguments about the racial superiority of Americans with white European ancestry. A need for white nationalism and in Americanism that falls under it as well, and a desire for racial segregation. Few would doubt that within this context, statements of failed Latino assimilation and adherence to Anglo-American norms represent part of a racial ideology of old-fashioned racial bigotry rooted in a belief in the superiority of the white race. That's what it always boils down to with them. That's what it always boils down to with them. What did Jabari say? He said the Latino has a very strong Texas accent, and then they bust out with Spanish. And it's like, I hear that. He said the idea of loyalty or assimilation is Matthew 10:34 with them as Christ. Right. And that's what we brought out when we read Matthew 24:4-5, right?
Right.
It says, be careful that no man deceive you. So, yeah, the assimilation starts with that Christianity. It starts with that white image of Jesus. And particularly with so-called Latinos, this is how it went down. It went down that the first thing they did was they got to worship this first. And then now we'll set up structures and governments here that they have to basically just comply with. And if they don't, they're seen as treasonous. They're seen as rebels. You imagine that? Like someone come to your house and they said, okay, we're changing all the rules that you have in your house. Right. So let's say you have a shoe rule, right? Shoes got to come off.
Right.
No, shoes stay on now.
Right.
Oh, everybody's in bed by 9? No, anybody can stay up as late as they want now.
Right.
And you in your own damn house, and you got to swallow that stuff, right? Now, I'm trivializing it when I say that, but that's essentially what they did when they got here.
That's true.
We had our own systems of commerce.
No.
We had our own systems of commerce. We had our own setup on different things,
right?
Let me see what else you got in the tabs. I'm trying to see what else. I'm trying to get my thought. I'm not going to read the iRacist article yet. I think I'm going to wind up coming back to that. I might jump back to that.
Yeah, also, I watched Apocalypto, like, last week. And at the very end of the movie, they stopped chasing the brother. They was trying to kill him. They stopped chasing him because they seen the ships.
Right.
You look on the ships,
right,
you see the friars with the cross.
Yep. That was like an ominous forebode. I know that. I mean, that whole movie's pretty dope. It goes to show you how, like, in idolatry, how much they were all bugging out to the point that they were sacrificing each other on stuff. But, yeah, that last scene, boy, it's like, damn, oh, you think you're in control, right? Those that were doing the sacrificing, that thing's all about to change right now. You saw them ships coming in?
Yep.
You know what that meant. I think Mel Gibson had wanted to do a follow-up to it to go into that, but Hollywood wouldn't let him.
I bet.
Because I think the Most High was putting on his spirit to reveal some stuff.
Right.
He was going to show that because, you know, he be showing brutality in his stuff. You know, you seen like Braveheart, you know what I'm saying, the Patriot. And he just show you straight up like stuff in them flicks when they doing the war scenes. You obviously Apocalypto. So I think he had intended to do something as a follow-up to, you know, them coming on them ships and doing some stuff. And
hey,
they shut them down.
Hey, Cap.
Yeah.
The movie Eternals, they show a little bit of when the conquistadores take over Tenochtitlan. So there's a little bit of killing. You know, it's not really focused on the Spaniards.
Mm-hmm.
It's just focused on the Eternals, but it's just a little bit, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's I haven't seen it, but no, that's just a little scene. I don't think he's spoiling it just for that. You know, the whole damn movie's not about that. That's probably like a history recap that they were showing.
Yeah, and it goes into a lot of history. They show Babylon, they show the Aztec Empire. It's good, really good. It's a good movie, wicked as hell. They have the Judite brother as a sodomite, bruh. What the hell is this?
Right. Let's read on here where they say, is it racism? At the same time, similar language is used by many Americans who do not formally endorse racial bigotry or associate themselves with white supremacist ideology. So it's saying you don't have to be part of a white supremacist group. You don't have to be a white nationalist. And you'll still use similar language in referring to so-called Latinos. White nationalism or racial segregation. Such comments frequently appear in interpersonal debates among media pundits and during online publication discussions. For instance, a citizen at a town hall in Colorado asked, why is it that the Irish, Italians, and Eastern Europeans were able to assimilate and Latinos, to some extent, still have not?
Wait.
That's page 3. Oh, my God.
Is he still flipping through the pages? Go ahead. Right there. That's it.
Oh, jeez. What is going on? Oh my goodness! Well, he acts like it's not his first day. Don't he be sitting there every week?
I've seen him. I don't know.
My goodness! So it says, for instance, a citizen at a town hall in Colorado asked, "Why is it that the Irish, Italians, and Eastern Europeans were able to assimilate, and Latinos, to some extent, still have not?" One of these things is not like the other.
One of these kids is doing his own thing.
Right. Irish, Italians, and Eastern Europeans versus so-called Latinos. He mentions all those people. That's like when Trump was like, why do we get people from shithole countries? Why can't we get people from good countries? Like Sweden.
Right.
He said, why can't we get people from Sweden? He basically said like Mexico. He talking about Haiti too when he said that. Terrible. It says, white Americans often seem at ease expressing this particular view because it gives the appearance that they dislike certain behaviors rather than Latinos as a group. People be like, I've never heard a racist word come out of any of these people's mouths. That's not racist.
Right.
Right. Well, it is. Like, we've just dissected how it is. In fact, many citizens endorse the idea that Latinos fail to adhere with Anglo-American norms while proclaiming racial neutrality. And they'll say, I am not a racist, right? So that's like what we read in Judith 5, right? And he says, why do they resist more than others? It's not really more than others. You just have a particular bone to pick with us, right? So it says, in speaking about Latinos, one blogger wrote, I just want better educated, safer, and cleaner people living around me. Do you see those terms?
Wow.
Do you see those terms?
Cleaner people.
He says, I want better educated, safer, and cleaner people living around me.
Wow.
My goodness. He says, I'm not racist at all.
But they don't take showers every day.
Right.
Right. Right.
Their
ancestors were, hey, some of them still do. I'm saying their ancestors will wear clothes until they rotted off. You read about the Khazars. Mm-hmm. It says they would wear their undergarments until they would disintegrate.
That's right.
Until they would disintegrate. Hey, I'm going to tell you that's true. Let me tell you a story.
Bring it out.
When I was in basic training, right? His name was Canfield.
Still
right?
remember his name.
He was my wingman, okay? Canfield. You know, I didn't know nothing about the truth back then. You know, I always had an awareness, though, of these, you know, Edomites. And I was like, you know. And I could tell he was like a country middle of, he was like from Arkansas. And I said.
Why you throwing shots?
I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about. You know the type of people I'm talking about. So he's like from Arkansas. And this guy, like, you know, they would rush you like. Really couldn't shower good. There was like, I don't know, 6 or 8 shower heads for like 100 guys. And they gave you like 5 minutes to shower and stuff like that, right? We used to have to do like an assembly line. And, you know, you washed your important parts. You got as much as you could done. This guy, in order to save on the way they wanted you to fold stuff and everything like that, he wore the same drawers for almost the whole basic training.
What?
Bro, near the end. And he was, like, laughing about it, going around the day. One day he took it out, and it was so dirty and nasty, these drawers, that they stood up on themselves.
Are you
like,
serious?
You know, like, bro, I'm talking about, like, you know, like when you wear them,
right,
the shape they take?
Yeah.
Right, like if an invisible man was wearing them?
Wow.
Bro, they were, you know, like if you starch something?
Right.
It was like that. And he was running around, like, yo, I wore these so long, look at it. Bro, and they had, like, brown stains on them. They had, like, pee stains on them. I said, bro, you better get that shit out of my face. I should get that shit way away from me. I said, you can go show somebody else over there that shit. I said, you better not come over here with that. I just popped into my head right now when I spoke about how they wore their undergarments until it fell off. It ain't even their ancestors, all right? It was like up until then. Hey, and he was like super gung-ho. He was trying to be like a combat controller. That's like one of the elite things of the Air Force. Okay. Like, you know, they come in to make an airstrip in like hostile territory, to make like a landing zone and stuff like that. So they got to go in and clear out areas and things like that before they go in. So he was one of those Americanism, I'm going after this and I'm going into this thing. Nasty, bro. I'll never forget it, bro. He's parading that stuff around. They stay, you know, drawers, when you drop them, supposed to crumple up, bro. this thing was like whole, like if somebody was still in them, wearing them, bro.
Wow.
Nasty. So it's in their spirit, bro.
He washed them when he was taking the shower, right?
I don't even think he would shower sometimes, bro. Like a lot of them did that,
right,
to save the grief of going. I was like, nope, I'm washing my crack, the undercarriage, all that stuff, bro.
They still sack cap.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy. So we have a caller. What's is it, a question, comment?
It's a comment for Sister Marie, okay, and how she used to live. She lives in amongst Northern Kingdom. And how Esau started getting mad when they started coming in and bringing the scores down.
Okay, all right.
I might be chopping it up.
Okay, no. You don't got to give that much detail, just a little bit. I want to know what we're walking into. Hey, shalom, sis. Welcome to the show.
Shalom, Captain. How are you?
Good.
Yes, I wanted to weigh in because what you're saying, true. So I live in Orange County, New York. And, you know, it's a lot of Edomites. Uh-huh. And this one particular Edomite, we were in the store, and she was going off about how the influx of Latinos was bringing the district rankings down. And she was just cursing, and she said, I don't give an F who's listening. You know, they're coming in here, and they're bringing our scores down.
And wow. So, the same sentiment that we read it right now. You experienced it. Are you the same sister who called the last show?
Yes, the same one. Yep.
The voice sounds familiar because you were talking about the school system and stuff like that. Yes, okay. Welcome back, sis. Man, you catch in reality up there where you at.
Oh, yeah, because we have a lot of Northern Kingdom in my school district. And like I said, and with the influx and, you know, the things that I'm seeing, I'm like, wow. I'm just like, I was just kind of baffled, like, what's going on here? And you know, just in line with what I was saying last week, when I looked through the information again for all my students, and one thing stood out. There was a Tino, and the home language was Spanish, but they put him down as African-American, non-Hispanic, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that's just a pump where they just figure they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess you're starting to see it as we go through this topic on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe not get some answers into the mindset behind it, because I understand we know about this truth and things like that. But, I mean, there's still some times, man, some stuff just makes your jaw drop, you know, and you're just like, wow, like the Bible's a true book. You know, there really is this animosity to it, because they're not like that. Are they doing that in the Asian community? No.
No, sir.
You know, they're not doing that. They're not doing that in the Arab community, no.
Hell no.
Thank you for the call, sis. I definitely appreciate the insight.
You're welcome.
Right, people see that reality that's going on. So it's that same type of sentiment that's in them. You're talking about it's bringing the whole district's grades down and stuff like that.
Like
because it's Latinos and stuff like that. Man, I tell you, that's crazy. There goes the neighborhood. That's exactly it. Hey, and like I said, the emphasis is here. Like I said, this is near and dear to me, obviously, because, you know, I'm Northern Kingdom. But that same type of – because if this sounds familiar to you and you Southern Kingdom, it should, because this is the stuff that's actually publicized about y'all. But unless you have a conversation with somebody like Sister Marie, unless you're reading a book like this or you're tuning into a show like this, you might not really realize that this type of stuff is prevalent and that it's happening there. It's just done in such a way that it's ignored.
Right.
People don't really look into it like that, you know? So definitely appreciate that. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, this is another comment, okay, after this guy said about he just wants better educated, safer, and cleaner people living around me. It says, why do Mexicans refuse to assimilate into the U.S. culture? a lot, this is like taken from like a discussion board, I think, a lot of them refuse to learn English, start gangs, stare at us like we don't belong here, and speak Spanish fluently in public. Oh, Lord forbid, I speak my regular language. What about when they came over here speaking fluently in their language and we didn't understand a damn thing they were saying, and they literally were conspiring against us in front of our faces as they took our lands and our homes and our children, showing no honor to the hoary head, to the age, nothing, none of that stuff. So it says the Irish, Germans, Japanese, etc., have all learned English and are now functioning members of U.S. society. Do not call me a racist, because I know there are a lot of brainwashed idiots out there who will play the race card with me as soon as they read this. It doesn't make me a racist to want my country to be able to be united.
Come on, man.
And it goes into that Americanism. Like I said, we're going to move to that in a little bit. I am going to try to get through the rest of these pages in the book that I had highlighted. So it says, these comments often cross the line between claims of racial neutrality, which we read about that term. Did I have anything else on race neutrality before we get...
Come on, man.
You had that article. I don't know if it was racial neutrality.
I think there was an article on race neutrality that I had up
there. Telegram, I think.
Right. I think there was an article on race neutrality. Come on, man.
It was a Telegram, right?
Oh, my God. Can we fire this guy? Can we fire him?
I have a microphone out. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I actually switched him out now. It's Soldier Michael.
Okay, all right. I'll give him some mercy.
Soldier Michael's a little quicker with the hand.
Okay. He's a little quicker as he scrolls up. Go ahead. Scroll up, Soldier. Scroll up.
Yes. I got Zerubo next to me now in the hot seat.
Oh, yeah, in the hot seat. All right, hold on. I thought there was an article. Go up more.
Right there, yeah.
Okay, I did want that. You can have that ready. I'm not going to read it now. It should be ready, too, because they mention a term in here about I was supposed to go over it then. They mentioned a term about, what did they call it? Racism and ethnicism. Right, which is really kind of the same thing, but have it up just in case, and we'll see if we read about that. And then what was that other picture? Let me just read that real quick. The one, no, scroll down. Yeah, let me see. What was the point of this? That was when I spoke about racial equity. Do I have any links on racial equity? Because I think that's going to come up at some point. All right, let me continue on the book for now. Can you have that up while you look at that in the background?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Continue on in page 3. So we spoke about racial neutrality. So it says, these comments often cross the line between claims of racial neutrality and outright bigotry toward Latinos. One such case is a blogger who commented on a message board that, this is an American English speaking, he can't even freaking spell right. This is an American English speaking country and was once nice until all of them came along.
Wow.
All of them,
right,
came along and polluted it with their diseases and prehistoric unintelligent
diseases?
Let me tell you something. They brought the damn disease here.
That's right.
When they came with their sicknesses, their syphilis and all this other stuff, and started raping our women and young girls and spreading all type of disease. They brought smallpox and blankets, killed off. But I had pictures of it. I had gone over it on another show and to show you the disease and the pockmarks and stuff that we had on us. Hey, let me get that in Micah about pollution. Does not your rest. It's interesting that they would say that. Actually, before you get that, get me the one in Job about the wicked. All right. Get me that real quick. He said, no, they don't go by Chinese food and listening to Chinese speaking. Right. You know, they all up in there. Or they don't go get their nails done at the salon with Lucy or Amy.
Right.
You know that ain't her real damn name. It's like Ching Chong Fong.
Yeah, they get a pot cap and they throw it. However it sounds.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you got to get us kicked off the air.
My bad.
You know,
my
they
bad.
Real quick for the Asian stuff, man.
That's we that Asian hate,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
You want Job? You ready?
Yes, give me Job first, and then give me Micah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 24.
Read it out!
The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
All right, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Who's the rulers of the earth today? Who's the ones that have everything in their control, all right? And I'm talking about race, right? It starts with the so-called white man, all right? and in all those nations that are Confederate with him. So they're the ones that are in charge. Nobody has any control to pollute anything, to do anything. They're the ones that are running the show. They more on that?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he?
Right. It's talking about he covereth the faces of the judges because, just like we read in the beginning, how he come and he put a white Christ. He says that, you know, the Israelites were white. Everybody, you know, basically everything is white-centric based on them. And that's not the case, all right? We're those real judges. The scripture tells you we're going to judge angels, meaning the people who were once kings and presidents and prime ministers here, we're going to be the ones that judge in the earth, right? So they're the ones that are in charge. And now you read this, talking about pollution. Come on.
What you want, Cap?
So this is not your rest?
Micah 2 and 10.
Is it 2 and 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Micah 2 and 10.
This is the book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 10.
Read out.
Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
Right. It says, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Meaning, we can't participate in this Americanism. We can't participate in that form of idolatry. All right, because that is another form of idolatry. And it says we should depart. We can't go anywhere in the earth, right? We just read that it's given into the hand of the wicked. So what it's talking about, we depart by keeping ourselves separate, anti-assimilation, into these laws, statutes, and commandments that help to keep us clean from the pollution of these things and these thoughts, right? So it says, arise ye and depart. Come on.
For this is not your rest.
It's not going to pick you up that way. What's going on with his mic? Does he need to press the plug in a little bit? Let's see what's going on. There you go.
This is Book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 10.
There we go.
Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
Because this is not our rest. We have to understand that we are pilgrims. We are sojourners here. All right? This is a temporary stay for us. Come on.
Because it is polluted.
It says it's not because it's polluted. It's not clean for us. It says it is polluted. And what is that pollution going to do?
It shall destroy you.
All this stuff, listen, and I'm not saying all Latinos know this, but there's something in their spirit that does prevent them from assimilating into the larger thing that's there. That's why we have a heavy work to do as a people in trying to continue to push this forth. And not just push it forth to let them know, they need to see the examples. They need to see us be able to stand in this place and stand upon our feet in the face of this adversity, in the face of this pollution, and still somehow remain clean and still somehow remain untainted from this. We need to show them it's beyond just talking to them about it. We have to show them that it can be done. That's why things where we put stuff out, showing how we have the community, we showing the sisters and how we do stuff, we're family-based and all that stuff like that. All those things are important, the different things that we're doing and how we're trying to support each other, because it shows them that we can do those things in the face of this here, because they'll have you believe that this American national identity, this Americanism, is the only way. We got to show them that in the midst of this pollution, we can stand against it. Come
That's
on.
Right. Even with a sore destruction.
Right. Even with a sore destruction. Meaning if we don't eventually repent from this stuff, time's going to run out and you're going to get that second death that the Bible talks about. All right. So let me go back to this. People asking for the name of the book. If you could type it in there, producer. All right. Ignored Racism, White Animus Toward Latinos. All right. But type it in there so they can see it. Okay. So it says this is an American English seeking country, because this person can't spell, and was once nice. All of them came along and polluted it. They said, we polluted it with their diseases. No, you came with diseases first. Right. And prehistoric, unintelligent culture. No, you're the ones that are polluting the earth, because the earth is given into your hand right now. We just read, according to the scriptures, that it's polluted because of y'all. All right. So also, no, I'm not racist. They all love to say that before anybody even says anything,
right,
because they know that they're racist.
They're justifying it right after. That's racist.
It's just that things have gone out of control, meaning I feel like I am not
in control
anymore. Right. Sure. It says with all of these illegal Mexicans in our country and their rude, ignorant behavior on top of it. And they are the ones who are racist, because they figure since they are all heavily populated over here like roaches.
Roaches.
He just said he's not racist.
But he's
he just said he's not racist.
The caucasity.
The caucasity of you. He said, and all heavily populated out here like roaches. They want to be the only race around and run things the way they want it.
Wow.
Well, we will be the only race around,
right.
And we will run it the way we want it. Okay. All right. Who we got on the line? Give me some background.
It's the brother that's always commenting, following along on YouTube, Brother Jabari.
Oh, okay. Hey, Brother Jabari, shalom. Welcome to the show.
Shalom, shalom. Most High Christ bless.
Most High Christ bless. Thanks for calling in. What's going on, bro?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to chime in on the topic. I drive a truck throughout Texas, and every job site I go to, guess who's working? Guess who's doing the heavy lifting? Issachar.
Yep.
He built it. And nobody can build like Issachar, okay? And, you know, these the caucasity of these Caucasians, putting them down like that. But they're the first, that's the only person they'll call to build their houses, to build their buildings is Issachar.
Yep.
And, you know, and Issachar will stick together, and they will do their own thing, and they will not learn English. Only if they have to, and I just think that's the Most High kind of, in a way, you know, kind of herding them into this truth, and that's why it's important that y'all keep doing what y'all doing on the Power Hour, and, you know, Lord willing, you know, we'll stir the pot, you know, and get them all, get that 144 jumping off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, and, you know, I know you are an avid listener, you follow us. So you probably might recall we had an episode where we went over how Issachar is largely responsible for all the agriculture here too. So it's not just the houses and stuff. If Issachar, we went over the part where it spoke about where they try to send them home, but then the agriculture suffered. And in that documentary, Harvest of Empire, and then Jesse Jackson would say, "Hey, we were picking cotton, they were picking tomatoes. You know, in all things, we were doing the same stuff." He said, "We just never really were aware of it until now."
Without a doubt, you know, a little history. My father was actually good friends with Cesar Chavez. You know,
oh wow!
I'm an old dog. I'm 51, and
okay.
You know, it's weird how the Caucasians could talk so much trash about Issachar when they, if Issachar just packed up and left right now, this country would shut down.
Hey, you're right about that. You're right about that.
Yep.
And they're frustrated for that because it happened to them before. We brought that out on this show. And then they said, we got to get some of them back. Hey, I appreciate the call, brother. We definitely appreciate the support and the comments, man. Thanks for calling in.
And Cap, all this right here is snippets. And so if you look at the bottom where the sources, where it's from, it's from Yahoo. And then one of the websites is called Mexicans Go Home. the black or the filthy.
Yeah.
Filthy
right. So, yes.
Wow.
So I'm going to show you. There's citations in this book. Like, he's going to tell you where you could go. He ain't making this up. You go find this on, like, one of these websites and stuff like that. Like, this stuff was up there. All right. Wow. The site is called, they actually made a
Mexicans
site called Mexicans Go Home.
What's
worse, the blacks or these filthy Mexicans?
Wow.
Let me know we are hated. Hey.
Damn!
Hey, this, the Bible tells us we'll be hated, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, get that, get Deuteronomy 28:37, all right? Because blacks and Mexicans ain't what we call either. We Israelites.
That's right.
We Israelites. Goes to show you that hatred they have for us. It's all of us. So I said, is that ignored racism? It amazes me how so many of our people can still be out there with that foolishness. We get them occasionally on the show, talk about those light skinned brothers. They might even try to come at you a little bit. They might think you
brother,
yeah. Right. You Judah, right?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
I just asked the brother what tribe he was just earlier.
I don't think you much darker than me.
Real talk. A shade.
Oh, yeah, you roll up the sleeve, man. Hey, they would look at him and be like, nah, that ain't Israel. Yeah,
even I asked him, hey, brother, what tribe you from? Sure you ain't Northern King?
He from. Read that real quick.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee.
Meaning they have all these names. So look, he called us roaches here. This one's blacks is not a name for us. Filthy Mexicans. Those are proverbs. Those are bywords. And it said among all nations we would have that. among all nations. They would call us these different things. All right. Showing you the Bible is a true book. We're reading that stuff now. I'm glad you caught that. Those are the citations that he has in the book of where he bring this stuff out. Let me see about this one.
We didn't have no nothing on race neutralization or
race neutrality. It was just that definition that I had then, right?
Yeah.
That was
and
it.
Other than that, we just had the video.
Okay.
And the other stuff.
Okay. All right. I think there was a point here. I didn't get to it yet. I got to get through these pages so I could see what I want to get to. Damn, this so. We're not going to read all these pages. I'm just going to jump to the highlights on some of these. But I don't know. Do I want to read Trump's thing? Yeah, all right. I guess I'll read it. Okay. So perhaps the most notable example of how people that potentially harbor racism and ethnicism towards Latinos.
Go to page 3, the last paragraph.
Yeah, the bottom of page 3, and then you can hit page 4. Okay. Perhaps the most notable example of how people that potentially harbor racism and ethnicism toward Latinos express their beliefs in statements. You can go to page 4. About failed Latino assimilation and still deny overt racism is a pair of statements by President Donald Trump. While campaigning for president, Trump frequently made comments about the inability of Latinos to assimilate, questioning their character and desire to adhere to Anglo-American norms. And this is so important because, like I said, as I segue, I'll give you a little taste of, based on time, of the Americanism piece. You need to understand where all this is driven from. And it's not just Americanism in and of itself. It is driven by a specific hatred directed towards our people specifically, all right? Because they're actually not wrong in that a lot of these other races do come and do kind of embrace it a little more and run with it a little more. But they're not, what's the term they use, disenfranchised like we are. They're not treated the way we are or have been historically, right? So even if now, presumably, there's the appearance of more doorways and things open for our people. It never was for us. See, they came here and they never had to deal with any of that type of stuff. And don't talk to me about the anti-Irish sentiment, all right, which will come up a little bit at some point as well as we continue on with this topic. Don't talk to me about that sort of thing because that was more driven by who would have control versus an actual hatred. Because at the end of the day, where are the Irish today on the scale here in this country? They're right up there with the rest of these Edomite, right? Because that's just that's just an ethnicity, right? Which we'll have to explain that the difference between the race and ethnicity based on what their terms are, all right? That's just an ethnicity thing. At the end of the day, it's all white people, right? It's dealing with the same thing. So he says, so while campaigning for president, Trump frequently made comments about the inability of Latinos to assimilate, questioning their character and desire to adhere to Anglo-American norms. His most infamous quote is, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best.
The country Mexico.
They're not sending you. They're not sending you, meaning he was pointing to white people.
Right.
He was pointing, meaning, oh, you're an upstanding journalist. You're this, you're that. He says, they're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
Wow.
And some, I assume, are good people. That's exactly what they were when you look at the history. Right. That's exactly what they are.
Exactly.
Christians. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget who they are. They're Christians. Remember Trump with the Bible.
Right. One nation under God.
All backwards and upside down. Like, bringing that thing out that way. All right. Let's jump down to his other comment. On the same page, it says the vast majority of the people that move illegally into the United States are not bad people. I'm sorry, this was John Kelly, his chief of staff at the time. They're not criminals. They're not MS-13. Some of them are not. But they're also not people that would easily assimilate into the United States, into our modern society. Goes back to that Judah. Why? Why are they so rebellious? Why don't they submit to what we're trying to do, right? It says, they're not MS-13, some of them are not, but they're also not people that would easily assimilate into the United States, into our modern society. They're overwhelmingly rural people in the countries they come from. Fourth, fifth, sixth grade educations are kind of the norm. They don't speak English. Obviously, that's a big thing. They don't speak English. They don't integrate well. They don't have skills. They're not bad people.
Wow.
Well, talk about double talk. Talk right. about double talk. Talk about dog whistles, reading between the lines. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next page. It says, Kelly's comment tap into the perception of Latinos as violent criminals, although it explicitly rejects the breadth of the applicability. At the same time, it highlights the lack of assimilation due to language, education, and more generally, cultural differences between Latino immigrants and the presumably Anglo-American culture. This rhetorical technique adds legitimacy to the second set of statements by rejecting an explicit racial motivation, right? And meaning, they call it a technique. This is something that those speakers, they're trained to do, so that they can get the general consensus of the population to say, no, that's not racist what he said. See, he said he's not racist. Or he said that not all of them are bad. He's only talking about some of them.
Right.
And this is he says it's a rhetorical technique, meaning they're talking to themselves. Mm-hmm. They ask the questions to themselves. They're not expecting an answer. And it rejects an explicit racial motivation with the second set of statements. They try to cover it up. And I said, even Latinos fall for this, all right? Even Latinos fall for this, because you'll have many Latinos that are very outspoken. Like, you got, what, Ted Cruz? You got, I'm talking about famous political ones. There's a bunch that aren't in any type of position of our people. And they'll fall for this same type of rhetoric. I got people that I'm acquainted with that I see on social media, and some of the stuff they post and they comment, and I'm like, bro, well, you're Mexican. Like, how could you even, like, why would you even say something like this? Like,
right.
Yeah. So let me get Hosea, let's get Hosea 7 and 8, because this is part of that, I want 9. Hosea 7 and 9.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 7 and verse 9.
Read just the first verse and 8, so we know that we're talking about Northern Kingdom. Come on.
Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people.
Right, so mixed among the people has double meaning, right? It doesn't just mean mixed in the genes, right? Mixed in how the different way that we look. Another thing, too, people will be like, well, how come, you know, Judah still looks, you know, pretty dark and everything like that. You have to remember, Northern Kingdom from the Assyrians was mixing from then.
Right.
Southern Kingdom resisted. Southern Kingdom stayed true for a lot longer. Even in Christ's time, they were still there. So it's not just white people. Like, we're mixed with all types. That's why, hey, you got some of our people that they look Elam. Mm-hmm. They look Ishmael, mm-hmm. right? Have a very certain type of distinctive look. Right? Some of them look Hamite, mm-hmm. right? So there's different types of things going on there. But it also means mixing himself with these ideologies as well. It's not just the physical. That's the first thing it's talking about, because it goes into the cake, not turn. But the second verse.
Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Strangers have devoured his strength.
Why? Our strength is this. Our strength is keeping these commandments, this identity, right? Standing for the Most High God. Everything else is polluted, like we read in Micah. And it says it will destroy you with a sword destruction. Come on.
And he knoweth it not.
And here's the tricky thing, and this is why I just read in the book. I says even Latinos fall for this technique, and they'll eat it up. That's part of strangers devouring their strength. You know, one of the ways your strength is devoured? When you're not united. Christ said a house divided cannot stand.
That's right.
And when you're against your own people, and you're going to side with another nation that historically has shown you who they are, mm-hmm. I don't matter what they're doing now. And I don't mean historically hundreds of years ago. I'm talking about historically still. Mm-hmm. They show you who they are every day.
Every day.
Every single day. Mm-hmm. And you're going to side with that? You've lost that strength of that unity, that bond, all right, that's going to bring us together. Come on.
Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not.
Yeah, so it says gray hairs, meaning they'll grow old. You'll have these old, supposedly pillars in the community, Northern Kingdom people, and they know if it not. You know, we had a guest on the show. I don't ever want to take away from any of the work that he did that was lacking in the scriptures, but his answer to everything was politics. Mm-hmm. His answer to everything was politics.
Right.
And I don't want to badmouth the brother, because, again, he inspired movements and did things in a way that many of our people wouldn't do, but then he got lost in this also. That's that gray hairs upon your head, and strangers have devoured your strength, and you know if it not. Mm-hmm. He's talking about political action.
Right.
If the system is broken and corrupt and it was never designed for us, how can you get any justice from that system?
Exactly.
It was never designed with us in mind. So they tell you because they passed some amendments and they put some things in place that somehow that means that there's a place for us now.
Right.
Well, that's the same thing. Where is that where Christ says new wine in old bottles? And then he talks about the garment, the cloth. I want the one where he talks about the cloth that you can't stay. It's right after the new wine in old bottles. You found it? I'll let you know which verse I want, though. I'll let you know which verse I want.
Where is that off?
Let me look. Hold on.
Let me see if I find it here. Matthew 9.
Okay.
But it's not the wine one I want. I want the one with the cloth. I'm going to make an example now of how they expect this government to function for us now, politics to function for us now. Matthew 9.
16.
Not 18? 17.
16.
No, I don't want 16.
Yeah, 16.
Oh, it is 16. Okay. So that's the one it starts with. So hold on. Yeah, so just go straight to the point. 16.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 9 and verse 16. Freedom! No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse.
Now, I'm going to use this example to talk about the American government. This is not specifically going into that when Christ is speaking here, all right? He's talking about the inability of some people to not be able to receive the doctrine,
the word,
right? To receive the word of Israelites, he's talking about. Some can't get it, right? Because they're so wrapped up in their own things that you basically, that's going into the born again, where he's saying you got to be, except you be like a little child, all right? About what he's saying here with the old garment, right? So you have an old garment that's been washed and worn, and then you take a new piece of cotton, let's just say, or linen, right? And you sew it on to sew the patch. When you wash that garment, it's going to pull as it shrinks on the rest of the old garment. And that's what he means when he says it'll take from the garment and the rent is made worse, because you put a new piece that's not pre-shrunk onto something that's already shrunk, and now when you wash it, it's going to pull on it and rip it, all right? The point that I want to make in this, in America's government, and us trying to go and fight in this political system and think we're going to get answers there amongst many things, is that you can't say it was never made for us. That's the old, right? You got to remember the old days, like they like to speak about. It was never made for us. We were never included with it. They put these patches, this new garment on it, right? And it says that thing is going to rip apart the rest of it. And that's the division that you see going on with all these different factions. That's why you'll have, and it's false, you'll have these Edomites coming out to Black Lives Matter thing. That's the other thing the comedian said, Michael Che. He said, man, I went to a Black Lives Matter rally, man. And he said, a lot of white girls there. it was a whole lot of them. Not too many of our people.
Right.
He said, I was like, damn. Yeah, I forgot how he lined it up, but he had me dying when it came to that, the whole Black Lives Matter thing. He said, I rolled into the Black Lives Matter, and he said, it was more white people than I had ever seen before in my life.
Right.
He said, I went there. So the government, they're trying to patch it with these new things, but it's an old thing, meaning it's broken. It's still going to be broken.
Right.
You can't put something new into there to think that it's going to work.
Can't patch it up.
No. And it also goes into like Isaiah 30, where it says trusting in the shadow of Egypt. That's going to be our shame. Mm-hmm. Our strength is in these scriptures. Our strength is in this stuff.
That's
but
right.
Even Latinos fall for these rhetorical techniques. Not just Latinos, Southern Kingdom too. And they'll be on that same kick and spewing that same type of racism and not really understanding it. All right. I'll read this last paragraph here. It says, so how much do these statements represent anti-Latino effect hidden in the language of failed assimilation and norm violation? How does the endorsement of these statements relate to support for policies that adversely affect the Latino community? So you have to understand something. They talk about institutionalized racism, and there's people that say it doesn't exist. This thing, and another reason it's ignored, it influences policy in Latino communities and how we're policed, how we're governed, how things are distributed to us,
right?
And it's done with this type of sentiment. These are politicians and people in authority that we've read these comments from.
Right.
And while some of them might not be like Trump and, you know, his ilk to say it so brazenly, all right, they're on private boards and doing that stuff. And that's what they, and it influences how they write policy when it comes to us. So how do beliefs about failed Latino assimilation and norm violation relate to favoring political candidates that voice similar concerns over America's growing Latino population? In this book, we examine the ingredients of these views and the consequences that they have on contemporary politics. We argue that these beliefs represent a unique form of Latino-specific racism, ethnicism, distinct from explicit racial and ethnic animus and the endorsement of traditional stereotypes. So it's not that overt racism that's very obvious,
right?
It's done in more subtle ways. In how we're governed. As we will show, these less overt expressions of racial and ethnic animus toward Latinos influence not only the debate over immigration, but also supposedly race-neutral policies and the public's electoral choices. So this racism becomes more subtle, and thus it appears to be non-existent, is the note that I wrote. By this type of effect, it becomes more subtle and appears that it's not there, because it's not the shooting that you see in the media, right? Even though they do happen, they're just not shown and given as much attention. It's not the videos on record with the Karens, and, you know, very rarely do you see it with so-called Latinos. They take the same type of thing and they do it in a much more subtle way. And then it comes out this way, right? Let me jump to the highlighted part. It says, these beliefs develop through a process of racializing Latinos to be, okay, we got to look up this word, phylogenetically. I had the definition in my head, but I forgot it. I was going to explain it without looking it up, right? Or you could just look up phylogenics, all right? And that'll give you an idea of what it's talking about, all right?
P-H-Y.
P-H-Y-L-O. G. Phylogeny. You could put phylogeny. No, not analysis. I don't want the analysis. I'm not a scientist. Okay. So relating to the evolutionary development and diversification of a species or a group of organisms. No, I don't like that one, I don't think. Go, scroll down. Scroll down. Scroll down. Let me get, let's try that one. Oh, of course it's going to say phylo. Hit phylo, Jenny. Racial. That's the one I want. Go back. It basically means racial. Acquired in the course of phylogenetic development, racial. That's what it means, all right? So that's their scientific way to say racial characteristics. These beliefs develop through a process of racializing Latinos to be phylogenetically and culturally, example behaviorally, because we read all these supposed behaviors that we don't do like white people, a distinct group from whites. So basically, they I'm going to tell you this for you Latinos who your strength has been devoured. You're not like them, all right? And they don't see you like them. Even though when you fill out your forms, a lot of times they'll put race separate from ethnicity, and then you're forced to pick something based on features and characteristics, all right? They do not see you the same as them. It says that their beliefs was a process where it was racialized, where we are phylogenetically and culturally different. So it's not just behavioral, okay? They say that we're different, kind of like in Django when he said, you see the black man in his skull, he has this. They're going to say the same thing about us. And we are different. We are. Right. This is just to show you, for you, especially you light-skinned, so-called Hispanics, Latinos, how they see you. All right. In their circles, in their things, it don't matter that you can white pass. All right. They see you as different and not just culturally. All right. A process that began in the early colonial period. This goes back to that distinction that I said, where ours is distinctly different because we were the native indigenous here. So they had to go ahead and part of their assimilation tactics, because if they're going to give us a white Jesus and looking at us and knowing that we're not white, right, when they came and they landed on our shores, all right, that would empower us if they made us to believe that we were like them also, right? Because there's a reason behind all this and why Jesus has to be white and everybody else has to be exclusively something else, all right? And like I said, even though it's true that we're not like them. So it says this process began in the early colonial period as white Europeans created a set of economic and political institutions to subjugate the early mestizo population. This goes into La Castas, all right? I've gone over that on this show, the caste system, where they kept track of when a white person got with an indigenous, when that baby and that offspring got with something else. And then they even had one called the return, where eventually wound up, through all the different mating, wind up being a full-blooded indigenous again, right? Because they also understood the seed of the father as well. So I've gone over the caste system before, all right? So mestizos, when it's mixed, even mixed, they treated it and they made this system of differences. That happened big time in Brazil, all right? And other parts of South America. So it says this historical racialization process, meaning that it's not a recent thing, it's been happening for a long time, has resulted in a common set of beliefs. Almost now you're starting to move into that whole ideology thing, because it's a common set of beliefs that all white people hold that persist today regarding Latino assimilation, agency, cultural inferiority, and criminality. It's this meaning this was 600 some odd years in the making, because they landed here in 1492. Mm-hmm. We're in the 2000s now. This was all those years in the making, and it says it results today. So this is why, first of all, it also shows you that it's not going away. The same example I gave of you can't put a new piece of cloth onto old because it's going to show it for what it is, right? It's the same thing. It's not going to stand up to the washing process.
That old garment.
Yeah, that whole garment going to be messed up, all right? Because this was something that started from when the conquistadors came off the ships. Like he said in Apocalypto, you saw them coming in, right? And it's not one just Spaniard. You had Portuguese or Europeans, all right? Dutch came also as well. But it was largely Spaniards and Portuguese at the time. And it says, thus many of the modern criticism of Latinos stem from discriminatory institutions of the past. You're not going to outrun your past. You're not going to be above your people. You're not going to rise above that, all right? That thing is going to follow and pursue us, all right? You read that when it talks about those curses. Let's get that in Deuteronomy 28, I think it's 46 that I want. She said, why the view is going down, Sister Ida? You know, they always manipulating that stuff, sis, when it comes to our stuff. Deacon Asaph has spoken about that a lot. There's probably a lot more viewers than they allow us to see. When we're doing these type of shows and things like that, you know, it's the way they play with the system. Later, it'll probably say we have less views than what we did. I've seen it happen. He's taking screenshots of it, even Deke. So,
you ready?
Yep. Go ahead.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and verse 46. And they shall be upon thee.
This
for
talking
a
about
time.
The curses, right? When you read the Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, it talks about all these different things. We read verse 37. When we did the first part of the show, we read verse 32, talking about Latinos in cages at the border now, children being taken away in modern times, right? So it says these curses, they shall be upon us what?
For a sign and for a wonder.
They would be used to help identify our people in these last days.
Right.
They would be used so that we can know. Every other nation can trace their history back. Ours starts with slavery, both kingdoms.
Right.
Ours starts with slavery, absent of the Bible. With the Bible, our history goes back to the beginning.
Bring it out.
All right? Absent of the Bible, our history is done away with. So what did God leave us with? He said, these curses will be your identity. For your wickedness, this will be your identity. Come on.
And upon thy seed forever.
And it says upon our seed forever. Upon our seed forever. So when it says that many of these modern criticism of Latinos, it stems from discriminatory institutions of the past. This form of racism, ethnicism, masked in criticism of Latino behavior and culture, is particularly common today, given that many white Americans prefer to avoid more direct forms of racism and ethnicism. So meaning they don't want that conflict of right. saying those things outright. So they've looked at more creative ways to still speak of their racism and their hatred for us.
Crap.
All right. with that, those rhetorical techniques and things like that, right? So just as norms of equality and a desire to not appear racist constrain the willingness of white Americans to express overt bigotry toward African Americans, many people,
hey,
you got to flip the page.
Stay
with me.
Page six.
That's the cover. There you go, page six. The willingness of white Americans to express overt bigotry toward African Americans. Many people are unwilling to explicitly state their dislike toward Latinos or are unaware that they hold such beliefs. Meaning, they're so fooled, they don't even realize that they're racist. That's how privileged they can be. Subsequently, studies that rely on measures of traditional forms of racism can attenuate the role played by racism, ethnicism towards Latinos in people's political preferences and behavior. Instead, Americans who harbor Latino-specific racism, ethnicism, feel more comfortable expressing these sentiments using arguments about how Latinos violate Anglo-American culture norms. So they rather speak about how we don't assimilate, all right, versus their roaches and every, even though we saw the comment about that, even right, though right. that criminal type of stuff. And what this does is, it says this allows people the comfort of harboring animus toward Latinos while at least in their own minds appearing to support norms of equality and racial neutrality. So letting you know that some of those white people are there, when they tell you they're not racist, they really believe it. Though they speak and act and all their choices, their voting and everything else is contrary to that, they really believe that they're not racist.
Right. Damn. Because that's normal.
Right. Hey, where is that where it says that which is crooked? Is that in Ecclesiastes? Yes, Ecclesiastes 1 and 15.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 15. Read it out! That which is crooked cannot be made straight.
Right? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. They're crooked. They're evil. They were not made upright. It says their soul, which is lifted up in them, is not upright in them. Okay? It says you cannot. Let's get same book, 7 and 13.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 13. Bring it out! Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked?
Right. God made them as vessels of wrath fitted for destruction.
No.
You read that in Romans 9. He's talking about Esau when he says that. Let's get that real quick. We got to get it. Romans 9. So, you know, you got people here, some of our people, like, oh, no, we could change them. You can convince them. Yo, they actually believe, some of them, that they're not racist. Romans 9, where do I want to start?
22.
Let's start at 21. Let's start at 21.
This is the book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 21. Read it out! Hath not the potter power over the clay?
God is the potter, and the clay is all creation. The earth and everything in it, including people, all right? He says, doesn't he have power over the clay? Come on.
Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor.
Of that same lump, he's talking about Jacob and Esau, because you read up earlier in the chapter and he talks about how in the womb, right, he chose Jacob, right? It wasn't anything that anybody necessarily did. He said, in the womb, I made this decision, right? So he says, of the same lump, I can make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. The vessel to honor is Israel. The one unto dishonor is Esau. Come on.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering?
Right. So it says God, in order to show his power, all right, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, because they said that second Passover that he's going to do, it says it's going to be nothing like that. And you read that history in Exodus. We go through it every year. And that was powerful things that he did that touched the Egyptians and not us. And he said, what if God, right, willing to make his power known, meaning it's going to be so much more grander and sorer, the destruction that comes, all right? He says, and with much long suffering, meaning he endures it with patience. Come on, what's happening to us? Read.
Enduring with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted
to destruction.
So it says he endures these vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, meaning he's not necessarily happy, right, with what's going on, right? And there's a little letter next to mine when it says fitted, because some of us, we still don't grasp that old English too good, and it says made up. So it says the vessels of wrath made up to destruction, meaning they were solely created to be our tormentors and then to be destroyed, all right? They're crooked. Remember, we just read in Ecclesiastes 7:13. It said, consider the work of God, how that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Read on.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy.
Us, the Israelites, come on.
Which he had afore prepared unto glory.
Right. And he says that in verse 4. Come on. I'm 24. Come on.
Even us, whom he hath called.
We're those vessels of mercy, right? That he afore prepared unto glory. Come on.
Not of the Jews only.
Not of just southern kingdom, come on.
But also of the Gentiles.
Meaning the northern kingdom as well. So he's letting you know that Esau, those vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Why did I go there in case we lost the talk? I know everybody gets excited when you talk about, yes, Esau. We were making the distinction that some of them actually believe that they're not racist.
Right.
And then you got some of us out there that are trying to give these people a chance. Y'all got to come out of that madness, brothers and sisters, because you cannot make God made them that way. You ain't going to undo that. There ain't no amount of hugs, love, embracing, them trying to talk like you, be like you, date you, marry you, have kids with you, going to make them right, going to make them clean. It's not going to happen. And especially to you so-called Latinos. Because many of you, because you got this ignored racism, think that it's all good in the hood.
Right.
Yeah, marry a white man. Yeah, get with that. Mm-hmm. Marry the devil, basically, is what you're saying. Let me tell you, you don't, your friends and your family don't love you if they tell you marry the white man mm-hmm. or woman, whatever that might be.
Right.
You know? So it says, this allows people the comfort of harboring animus toward Latinos, well, at least in their own minds, appearing to support norms of equality and racial neutrality. Let me jump down to the next highlighted verse. It says the discrimination Latinos faced resulting from the caste system. So going back to the castas, they're saying that this is an old racism. It's not a new thing. This sentiment towards us is not something new. This thing that you hear about immigration and the border, this was there from when they took over. All right. It says the discrimination Latinos faced resulting from the caste system limited their social mobility, helping to create a belief that Latinos were incapable of assimilating into colonial society. So that caste system, those institutions that they put in there, it did limit our options. It did limit our education. So it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg type of right. thing? Are we lesser? We know we're not. Mm-hmm. All right? I mean, at least those of us that are woke to this knowledge know we're not. We're the greatest people on the face of this earth.
That's right.
God made us to be above all nations. All right? So... but some of us might be down on ourselves. You got to realize that this was created. It was created. So it says it limited our social mobility from way back when, and it helped to create a belief that Latinos were incapable of assimilating into colonial society, much like what happened to Southern Kingdom. Y'all was in captivity, just like us. And then when they did pull you out, it wasn't fair. Right. And we're going to show the video, okay, with the cartoon one with the race where they tell you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Because that's essentially what we're saying here with Latinos. Other types of formal and informal practices of discrimination against Latinos. So I was going to talk about the California Land Act, Operation Wetback, and the Zoot Suit Riots. All right. These are all things that they put into place to discriminate against us. These are aspects of the same thing of like Jim Crow and black codes, which we also fell under because we were in the country at the time. We were just on the other side largely,
right.
Like Jesse Jackson brought out in the documentary talking about that, you know, y'all was doing cotton and tobacco. We was doing, you know, tomatoes and cabbage and everything else on the West Coast. All right. Same thing. So it limited that upward mobility, and it had a similar effect, reinforcing beliefs about the inability of Latinos to assimilate, as well as creating an impression that Latinos failed to adhere to the Anglo-American norms. Thus, various historical institutions are partly responsible for shaping how whites perceive Latino identity and ultimately shape the way that their animus is expressed toward Latinos today. So we're framed historically as being less, as being anti-Anglo, anti-American, all right? Sound familiar to some of y'all? Some of you maybe not so much. All right. So they tell us, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. There's so much opportunity. We have race neutral policies where, you know, there's affirmative action. So that we have to hire certain people, right? I was watching a clip the other day when the Wayans brothers had their show. And I forgot, not the crazy one that makes all the weird faces, the other one that was the DJ. I can't remember his name right now.
Sean.
Thank you. Sean had a confrontation with the manager, and he basically called him on, you only hired me so that you could get this contract. And I know that, you know, they wouldn't have hired you if you didn't have a black person on the staff. So he was basically going into something similar with that. So you have these affirmative action type of things and stuff in place, right? So no social mobility, but they'll tell you, no, everything's equal now. Get me the video. And some of you may have seen this before. It came out in a class a long time ago. All right, Bishop did a class on this long, long time ago. And then what we'll do is after the video, we'll close out with just a little tease on the Americanism, and that'll be the brunt of the next show before I get into any more chapters in the book. I still have a lot left on the table, man. There's so many links and stuff like that. But we'll save it for next week, and hopefully the producers can get it in an order that makes sense.
They're going to be all right. I got a script,
Pat. Bring it out. Bring it out. Before you show this, bring this out. Go ahead.
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 33.
Bring it out.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. So it's basically going into how, just like you said, Cap, Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, we both suffer the same thing.
Yeah, right. It was all the same stuff. The difference is, like the title of the book says, it's ignored when it comes to us. It's ignored as if it doesn't exist. When I say us, I'm talking about Northern Kingdom, so-called Latinos, all right? But the one that's more accepted is, and for now, because they're trying to take it out the school systems too, is that transatlantic slave trade, the colonial slavery, and they don't go back to before, even though we were in colonial slavery as well, but at that point our numbers had dwindled down. But dealing with that social mobility, this epitomizes, in a modern sense, what that social mobility and that limitation of it happened during they came to colonize. And I falsely said colony. I meant colony because they were colonizers as Spaniards as well. I'm talking about when the British came to colonize, because that's when largely Judah in the 1600s went into captivity. But dealing with the Spanish and the Portuguese putting us into captivity, and they created these systems where, you know, whereby till today it permeates with us, right? So let's watch this. And this affects all tribes, what we're about to see here. Go ahead. Okay, you can play it. Is not playing enough. Roughly. Structural discrimination. Stop. I'm gonna try not to talk. Don't stop when I talk unless I say stop, because I forgot who used to stop it all the time whenever I spoke. That means institutional. It's the same thing that we read. The institutions, the economic, the political, the way we're governed. All right.
Education.
Yeah, education. All right. So now they try to say it's all equal, going back to that whole thing of a new piece of cloth on an old garment, all right? It ain't going to work. It's going to expose it for what it is, and that old garment going to rip open, okay?
Right.
So none of these are patches that they try to make you feel like you're included and that you can get by. Come on.
It's the illusion of inclusion.
Essentially, they came, they took everything from us, look, slavery, broken treaty, genocide, manifest destiny, Trail of Tears, Red Scott, everything.
See, the clock started at 1492,
The clock started at 1482, then they showed you 1619. These are all the years going by in this. Generational wealth being passed down. It grows now. Gonna pass it to his son. Note that we still haven't been able to run yet.
Right.
1908, 1910. Look, even the daughters, 1964. Why? stop for a second. You would say, well, how come not after the Emancipation Proclamation? Right. Because you had black codes, you had Jim Crow, mm-hmm. all right? It went until 1964 with the Civil Rights Movement, right. that stuff was finally gone. Mm-hmm. So that's when we were able to start to participate in the race. Come on.
That wasn't too long ago. Mm-hmm.
Discrimination. So now we run it in the race. All these stumbling blocks, more schooling, everything that we just read about in the book. Underemployment, stop. And some people might not relate to this. And they're going to say, well, Northern Kingdom didn't help. We went through this when we went through the whole thing with the Mexicans. And so when, the documentary where Jesse Jackson spoke, we did. We would look out. Remember, we talked about the Young Lords and we spoke about the Brown Berets and how we even had Dr. Sanchez on the show and he spoke about, yeah, we would trade talents with the Black Panthers and some of them would come with us and we showed pictures of it and everything on the show. And it showed that there's a portion of us that would try to help each other in these things and unify in these things.
Right.
Because we realized at one time that we're going through the same thing, like the scripture you just read, right? Come on. Test, all those things meant to try to minimize us. Again, going back to education. Incarceration. You seen that documentary, The 13th?
To fill the prisons.
Yep. School to prison pipeline. Housing segregation.
Redlining.
Racial profiling. Everybody been running for years. They want to test our people. We must be cheating. Dead end. Shortened lifespan. Hey, stop for a second. That's another thing. One of the direct results of all the atrocities that have been done to us in slavery, we wind up having a shortened lifespan because of all the stresses, all these things that happen to us, right? And I like this video because it shows Northern and Southern Kingdom, letting right. you know that it's both of us that, right. that have gone through this stuff, right? Like you said, the clock started with 1492, mm-hmm. all right? We should download this because I'm surprised it's still up on the internet, all right? So, yeah. Producer, we should download this and keep this in a file because one day they're going to take this off, bro. It leads to issues, and that's why we get these sicknesses that lead us to shortened lifespans, right? Come on, go ahead. They got connections. You saw that with the college thing when those Edomites were paid to get people in privilege. Look at that. I don't even got to run anymore.
Passed up, she saw.
Oh, white this. White power. That's what you say right there. White power.
Oh, see who the construction worker is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this thing was made to try to say affirmative action helps level the playing field, but we really went over that. It really doesn't, right? It doesn't go into any of that stuff at all right? That's the stuff that we just read in the book. I want to just read the little excerpt on Americanism to introduce people into it, and then we'll save it for next week's episode, Lord's Will, Life Lasts. All right, so let's pull up Americanism. All right, so this is what we're going to jump into next week's show, Lord's Will. All right, so Americanism. Notice it says it's an ideology because it's listed as different things. All right. And we're going to go into the scriptures to show you how it's a form of religion. And it says Americanism, and this is that excessive patriotism, also referred to as American patriotism, is a set of United States patriotic values aimed at creating a collective American identity, all right? So it's telling you what the goal of it is, all right? These values, this patriotism, is for assimilation. It's aimed at creating a collective American identity and can be defined as an articulation of the nation's rightful place in the world, because they think their rightful place is as the top dog, right? A set of traditions, a political language, and a cultural style imbued with political meaning. It's letting you know all the elements that go into this. And this popped into my head to begin speaking about if I would have done the Thanksgiving show, because this goes into, that's Americanism too, dealing with holidays like Thanksgiving, all right, Independence Day, so on and so forth. Thanksgiving's a very American holiday.
Oh, definitely.
It's like it's like almost exclusively American. Right? If it's celebrated elsewhere, it's because some Americans moved somewhere and they kind of brought it there, all right? According to the American Legion, a U.S. veterans organization, Americanism is an ideology. They say it out of their own mouth. Or belief, and we're going to click on belief real quick. We're not going to go into it today. Statolatry, all right? Which goes into combining idolatry with the state. Okay, so go back. So basically, it combines the state and idolatry, going into showing you that it's all idolatry when we start dealing with this patriotism,
like,
which is why they're so fanatical about it. The flag being one of the chief idols. All right, it's a belief, an ideology or belief in devotion, loyalty, or allegiance to the United States of America or to its flag. Traditions, customs, culture, symbols, institutions, or form of government. And we know what those institutions are made of. We know what the government is like. We just saw a brief video encompassing all of that. In the words of Theodore Roosevelt, Americanism is a question of spirit, conviction, and purpose, not of creed or birthplace. All right?
Right.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit too, because they don't have a creed or birthplace, and nothing's ever been theirs. Hmm. Americanism has two different meanings. It can refer to the defining characteristics of the United States and can also signify loyalty to the United States and a defense of American political ideals. These ideals include but are not limited to self-government, equal standing in court, freedom of speech, and a belief in progress. Now, let's just read the little sign. It says, ideals of Americanism vary widely. And they really don't. They all together. The thing on the right I'm looking at. So it says, from assimilation, which is what we were reading about, monoculturalism, meaning theirs is the only one, white supremacy, or centrality of a right to property. Scroll down. To more classical liberal conceptions believed to be represented in the American Revolution, human rights, and republicanism. We're going to dissect all of this next week, Lord's will. Scroll down. And then it says American culture icons, apple pie, baseball, and the American flag, right? The icon is going to, that's all forms of idolatry, to show you how the sports, the fanaticism behind that as well is part of that stuff. Some of our brothers and sisters are still caught up in them sports heavy, right? I'm not saying, you know, we've gone over this before. Some people, you know, I might still watch a little fight or a little game here or there, but it's the fanatical part of it and what they represent. And Thanksgiving falls under that too. That's an American cultural icon. That's something that is as American as apple pie. Have you heard that term before?
Yes, sir.
That's as American as apple pie. Well, maybe us old heads did. But
I've heard it a million times.
It's as American as apple pie. So Lord's will, life lasts. We're going to jump into this Americanism going into next week. All right. I pray y'all got some understanding. Y'all got any closing thoughts?
Hey, subscribe to IUIC Phoenix on YouTube.
Right. Make sure you subscribe. Don't just tune in. Subscribe, hit the alert button for when we get content that comes on. All right.
That's right.
Don't forget, we've had some issues with like school closure and stuff, so the Saturday show wasn't going on. But we have the Power Hour, all right, 11 a.m. Arizona time, exclusively on Facebook. And we're alternating that with English and Spanish. So we're going to have
La
Hora de Poder, and we're going to have it in pure Spanish, all right, which even if you don't understand, you can still support by jumping on, liking,
share
okay?
Comment.
Comment even, get some juice to that. And are we doing English or Spanish this week?
I don't know yet.
Okay, all right. Well, social media is supposed to put some ads out Thursday and Friday to promote the Saturday show. And then next week, Wednesday, Laws Will Live Last, we're going to jump deeper into Americanism, all right? I got my some scripts ready for that. I got a lot of stuff to read on that. We're going to go in deep on that before we jump back into the book, because it's all kind of related as we understand this stuff. All right. So I pray that y'all be safe. All right. And Lord's Will Live Last. We'll see you on air next week. All right. Thank you for your support and tuning in. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
I was trying to show you, bro.
My ears hurt.
That's the, man, mine hurts.
Leg up.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running scared because Israel is back. All lies on us because we.
My son,
when the Lord returns to Babylon, we are solid.
We got them
on lock.
God's chosen people. Protectors on rock.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack.
Hey.
Yeah, I went to Walmart on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to get some air fresheners in my car, but
okay.
but there was a Native American lady standing at the door, the one that checks all your shit when you go. And she goes, "Happy Thanksgiving." And I.